Good evening. We're in the midst of our Wednesday night summer series entitled Christians Wake Up, It's Later Than You Think. The topic I'll be covering this evening is entitled, Is This All There Is to Christianity? If you recall my lesson in last year's summer series on Buddhism, my biggest challenge was pronouncing the topic correctly. Just ask Cletus and Troy. I'm really disappointed Cletus isn't here. In all seriousness, I must admit the current topic is a challenging lesson, one that was very convicting to myself and very much a wake-up call. I hope it is a wake-up call for you as well. Have you ever caught yourself going through the motions of getting up for services, perhaps with a little more challenge than other mornings, putting on your Sunday's best and struggling through the same Bible class and worship service routine as every Sunday? Perhaps you have even caught yourself thinking, is this all there is to Christianity? Maybe you didn't think that exact thought. Maybe you pondered the question, is there something more to this whole Christian thing? Am I missing something? If you have been a Christian for any considerable amount of time, you have probably experienced some of these thoughts once, if not multiple times, in your Christian walk. At times, you may have felt bored, uninspired, or unchallenged. J.J. Turner tells of a member of his local congregation who once commented, attending church is like watching the same old movie over and over each week, or every week. You know the plot inside and out. Surely there is more to Christianity than running in circles week after week. Some of you might think, well, that Christian's heart just isn't in the right place. But before you are quick to judge the heart of this Christian, we need to take a deeper look at our own hearts. Are we asleep and not even aware of it? Are we sleepwalking our way through our Christian walk? Before you answer no, let us consider three questions that only the individual Christian can answer. Our first question tonight is, are you avoiding your Father's business? Do the temporary pleasures of the world give you more pleasure than spiritual matters? Do you look forward to entertainment such as movies, reading, watching sporting events, Netflix, or TV more than serving the Lord? What about spending time on the internet, reading news, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, or Pinterest, rather than our spiritual service to the Lord? Are hobbies, work, travel, or vacations, or just relaxing, doing nothing at all, more appealing than spending time in God's Word or discussing it with others? The way we choose to spend our time is an indicator of our priorities. We may say, God holds the most important place in my life, but is this in concert with where we actually spend our time? Let us consider the example Christ left for us. Even at the early age of 12, Christ had a desire to serve God more than self. Let us read from Luke 2:43 and following. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I was about my Father's business?" It is important to note that Jesus found much pleasure in the spiritual rather than the material. Joseph and Mary didn't leave Jesus behind in Jerusalem because he was talking about the latest sporting events, movies, or hobbies. He valued and enjoyed discussing the scriptures with his brethren. Throughout his life, he sacrificed any personal desires to do the will of the Father, even to the point of death on the cross. Jesus prayed the night of his betrayal, saying, "O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. How we choose to spend our time and activities is an indication of our faith and dedication to the Lord. Have we made our lives so busy there is little time for service to the Lord? Have we structured our lifestyle in a way that the Lord can work through us? Or have we filled our schedule with things that really have no value in helping us attain our heavenly goal? The devil has found a way to so fill our time with the business of the world that we do not even realize that we are not about our Father's business. James states, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." When we allow the devil to influence us, he removes any urgency of serving the Lord. Brethren, wake up. You have less time to do the Lord's work than you think. Our second question tonight is, are you avoiding persecution? One indication that you may be sleepwalking in your Christianity is harmony with the world. Galatians 4:16 states that they who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We seem to have forgotten this verse in our daily living, being content to avoid any conflict that teaching the truth may bring. If we do the will of our Father, it will naturally place us at odds with the world. Jesus was not a contentious person, yet he realized that his teachings would cause conflict. For Jesus said in Matthew 10:34 and following, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I think J.J. Turner says it best. While trying to win friends and influence, we have failed to make enemies because we tell people the truth. We stand by and watch our neighbor's house burn and never cry, "Fire!" We fear fire and therefore fail to snatch men out of the fire. To be a good person in the area of conduct is not enough. There are plenty of good people doing good things for others that are not even Christians. There are many opportunities to influence others, but if we do not ever teach Christ, we fail in our mission. Have we become so comfortable and complacent in our purpose of sharing the gospel, we now resemble the world more than Christ? Paul states, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Can we really say that we're not ashamed of the gospel when we fail to spread it? We only have a short period of time to influence and teach the lost. Christ so loved the lost that he gave his life that we might have eternal life. Do we love lost souls enough to pull them from the fire? Are we making the same error as Jonah? Are we content to judge the lost but do nothing for them? Brethren, it's time to wake up and share the gospel with the lost before your soul is lost for being derelict in your Christian duty." Our third and final question is, are you double-minded? Double-minded in the scripture has a meaning of duplicity, fraud, or deception. It may involve intentional deceit of others or self-deception. I do not believe any among us intentionally deceives others. I would like to focus on the folly of self-deception. In the book of James, he must have found many Christians lacking in this area. Turn with me to James 1:22 and following. James states, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks under the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Brethren, why are we so pious about the way we worship but lack the same diligence once we exit the doors? This is not to say we should not be diligent in following God's design for worship. However, is our desire to behave like a Christian outside of worship as strong as it is to worship properly? Are we deceiving ourselves about our Christian responsibilities? How is it that those in community churches and denominations who do not even understand the simplicity of gospel conversion live their daily lives more in concert with the scriptures than we often do? I have met many outside the church who are far more focused on sacrificial and servant living than those in the church. If you do not believe me, let us consider a few examples. Why is it few in the church foster children or adopt children? Why is it that our friends in community churches and denominations understand the importance of taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves, but we as Christians often leave it up to others to do so? Why do we typically only look within these walls to serve and overlook those outside the church? How about visiting those in prison? What about feeding or clothing or sheltering the homeless or poor in the inner city? Let us consider Matthew 25, 31 and following. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This scripture emphasizes that in serving others, we are actually serving and glorifying God. While hobbies, entertainment, careers, school, extracurricular activities are not innately bad things, they should not be a substitute for serving the Lord. These activities should have a purpose that can be linked back to our Christian purpose, to seek and save the lost. For example, we can say work serves a purpose of fulfilling our obligation to our family. But the occupation we choose, the hours we commit, and how we behave at work can undermine our service to the Lord. Another example is our hobbies. How we use those hobbies can either serve the Lord or serve as self-gratification. Another example is sports and extracurricular activities. Parents and children, when we participate in sports, music, or other activities, we should do so with purpose. Our sportsmanship, dress, and discernment need to be considered. If while playing sports we are sore losers or lose control of our emotions on the field, how does that influence others? What about our dress or modesty? Do you think God approves of situationally modest dress because you are swimming or playing volleyball? What about discernment? Do we rationalize dance, cheerleading, and similar activities when these activities, by nature, require immodest attire? And more often than not, involve lascivious or unchaste bodily movements intended to provoke the audience. How are we as Christians setting ourselves apart from the world if we do not heed the scriptures and instead make allowances for our worldly behaviors? If we truly seek after the mind of Christ, we will look to serve him and not self in everything we do. We will place others ahead of self and avoid causing others to stumble by our behaviors. We are called to be good stewards of our time, just as we are our material possessions. This is really God's time and not our own. If we find that an activity is taking up our time and there's no spiritual benefit to self or others, we should reconsider participating in that activity. There are many distractions in life, and as Solomon concluded, most are vanity. Concerning these vanities, Solomon stated, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Many of those distractions keep us from performing our Christian responsibilities. Perhaps our ability to reach the lost is hindered because of our double-mindedness. We may deceive ourselves, but we do not deceive the world, who is able to easily recognize our hypocrisy and use it against us. Most importantly, we cannot deceive our Heavenly Father. Christians, it's time to wake up and stop deceiving yourself. I would like to leave you with some suggestions to help us avoid being asleep as Christians. Number one, be steadfast in your prayer life. Number two, meditate on God's word throughout the day. Number three, take personal responsibility for your Christianity and don't compare yourself to or blame others. Number four, align your priorities with serving and glorifying the Lord. Number five, be spiritual-minded and not worldly in your thinking. And number six, seek out opportunities to sacrificially serve others. Brothers and sisters, if this has been a wake-up call for you and you have found yourself derelict in some of your Christian duties, it is not too late to make changes in your life. Let us not put off these things another day. Let us purpose in our hearts to be the Christians that Christ would have us to be. Let us all stand and sing.